1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. The Trump administration applying more pressure to win the war in Ukraine. J.D. Vance today.
I think that we've put together a very fair proposal. We're going to see if the Europeans, the Russians, and the Ukrainians are ultimately able to get this thing over the finish line.
But Ukraine's president has already said allowing Russia to hold on to Crimea is a non-starter. President Trump on tariffs today sounding positive.
We're going to be making money with everyone, and everyone's going to be happy, but we're no longer going to be the country that's ripped off by every country in the world.
CBS News has confirmed the CEOs of Walmart and Target warned Trump that tariffs could disrupt supply chains and lead to empty shelves. Reporter Ray Strickland is following efforts to battle a wildfire in Ocean County, New Jersey.
The struggle to put out this massive wildfire continues. The amount of acres burned has exploded to now more than 11,000.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin Supreme Court has affirmed that Governor Tony Evers has the power to veto individual words, numbers, and punctuation in proposed bills. Republican lawmakers challenged that power after Evers used his partial veto to lock in a school funding increase for the next 400 years in 2023. They have also proposed a constructional amendment seeking to limit that power. The partial veto increased how much revenue K-12 schools can raise per student by $325 every year until 2024-25. And Green Bay isn't alone when it comes to the excitement of the draft tomorrow. Appleton is getting in on the action, too. Lisa Hale has more.
If the thing keeping you from going to the NFL draft near Lambeau Field this week is the drive, the traffic, and the thought of trying to park, the Fox Cities Convention and Visitors Bureau has the solution, said Pam Seidel, executive director of the CVB.
Everybody knows where Fox River Mall is. They've given us the whole section of their parking lot. We've got six coach buses, real easy trip up, you know, on both Thursday and Friday. And
the shuttle service will cost $60 round trip. To reserve your shuttle seat from the Fox River Mall to the draft and back, visit foxcities.org.
And visitors have already arrived in Northeast Wisconsin in preparation for all of the festivities. Lombardi Avenue from Military to Homegrown Way is now completely closed in both directions. Only pedestrian traffic is allowed along the NFL draft fence. Information on road closures, parking, traffic patterns, shuttle services, and more is all available on the NFL One Pass app. And the weather in the Fox Valley is looking a little wet. Pack the poncho. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers blast the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball last night in San Francisco. Top of the sixth. Bases loaded. Christian Yelich at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
2-2 coming. Fly ball center field. Back goes Lee. He is still back. And it is gone. A grand slam for Christian Yelich opens this ball game wide open.
It was Yelich's first grand slam in 3 years. Milwaukee went on to win 11-3 over the Giants. A lot of contributions from the crew. Pat Murphy.
Terang sticks out. Yelich sticks out. Those guys were amazing. Bowers getting a start once in a while and hit a homer later in the game to keep adding on. A lot of good Durbin. A lot of good offensive performances today.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 123-115. Indiana leads the series 2-0. Game 3 Friday night.
We'll just see. I'm very confident about this series there.
At Stock Rivers with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
There you go. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. If you normally listen to the fantastic Maggie Dawn show every afternoon at this time, have no fear. She's still around. Just 2 hours later, things shifted around a little bit as far as scheduling. Starting today, we are now on from 2 until 4. Maggie joins us, joins the network then from 4 until 6. The complete 2 hours of the Maggie Dawn show follows us starting at 4 o'clock. And then it'll be Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8. Coming up in this hour, a little What's Worse for You. And then at the bottom of the hour, Matt Solomon is here from Cracked.com talking about the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, the history thereof, and how the 50th anniversary is shaping up. Trigvi Olsen's going to be back in just one moment. But first, it is, by the way, Zommers, now that we're doing officially, technically, 3 o'clock is drive time. Some people going to pick up kids or whatnot. Some people getting out of work earlier in the afternoon. So we thought, you know, we'd throw a little traffic for you, especially. Wow, I like that. A little traffic horn. Very good. Checking the 511. That's 511WI.gov traffic around the state of Wisconsin. A few slowdowns for you, particularly for our listeners on WAUK in southeast of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and the suburbs. If you're traveling in the Milwaukee area, be aware that I-43 heading north from Milwaukee and 94 up to 190 in the Shorewood area, going slow right now. Then over on Highway 41 north and south, it is the northbound lane from just north of 94 up to around Mayfair area and just south of the crossroad at 190. That is headed north on 41. That is slow as well. And then further up on Highway 41, just south of 41, just south of the Woodman Food Market there, that is going slow as well. So basically, Highway 41, say from the Interstate 94 on up to alternate 41, that's going to be slow going there. And also 43, as expected this time of day, between I-94 and I-90 up in the Shorewood area, that is slow as well. Otherwise, most other major traffic areas and roads around the state of Wisconsin are on time for the most part. A couple of minor accidents on the sidelines here and there. And of course, this time of year, all roads are in good driving condition as well. Don't have to worry about snow anymore either. Trigvi Olsen joins us for hour number 2. How about Joseph Pecky, Trigvi? I thought he was fantastic, and I think he's the kind of guy that can continue on the work that Ben Wickler has done for the Democrats.
Yeah, I think he's terrific. And, you know, if Ben built the foundation, Joe is the guy to
put the structure on the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just, he gets it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he gets it.
No, he really does.
Here's the other thing. The David Hogg thing, like, yeah. Instead of spending your money on Gwen Moore, put it into doing something constructive, like taking out Van Orden.
Right, that's right.
Exactly what Todd said.
Yeah, and for those who didn't join us last hour, we had Joseph Pecky, who's running for Democratic Party chair, now that Ben Wickler is not going to run again. And I brought up this thing we talked about on this show a couple of days ago. David Hogg, who's now the National Democratic Party vice chairman, got his claim to fame from being one of the survivors of the Parkland school shooting in Florida, which, of course, that's a tragedy. And, you know, can't imagine living through that. He's kind of parlayed that into, as far as I know, the guy's never run a race, right? I don't think he's even run a state house race at all. But he's parlayed this into kind of a claim of fame amongst Democrats. And now he got himself elected vice chair of the Democratic Party. And over the weekend, he said that his personal super PAC is going to spend $20 million on primarying Democratic incumbents in safe House seats, and he's going to target those that he feels are too old or don't vote progressively enough. And I agree with you, Trigvy. I don't get it. I just don't get that strategy. And I agree with you. His organization would be much better off putting that $20 million part of it against guys like Derek Van Orten or other people that are just very, very extreme. So look, we're not Democrats, so I guess that's up to them. I'm going to ask you this because I let Tom Hartman's on now before us. I found this fascinating because Mark Pocan was on that show, a congressman here, the only other Democrat that represents Wisconsin, and was on Hartman's show today on the national show taking questions. And this is an order. I wrote this down as I was driving in. So the first caller was calling in to say that Democrats should lobby Republicans outside their district to have some courage and join and get Hakeem Jeffries elected speaker. And even Mark Pocan said, look, not so sure about that one, because if you try to leave a message or an email on my website, you have to enter in your zip code. And if you're not in my district, you can't even leave a message. So I'm not sure about that one. The second caller wanted to socialize airlines, thought the airlines in America should be owned by the government and not private companies. The next caller wanted Pocan to join I hadn't even heard of this, the Occupy the White House movement, a la January 6th, only going up against the White House instead of the Capitol. The next person was in favor of Head Start. I think that's a good one. And the final caller was advocating for the Bernie AOC ticket in 2028. Now, I get that that's a more liberal program than what we're doing here, but I just found it fascinating that's why I was getting, and I appreciate Zepecki answering the question. I just don't understand how you can satisfy that faction of the Democratic Party that's in favor of all those things I just listed, and also kind of more traditional Democrats. It's a tough job. I wouldn't want it.
No, I mean, but that's any party chairman's having to deal with that, right? Like, but Democrats aren't losing elections because they're too progressive, right? Like, they won the state Supreme Court race because their base was energized, but they also won the state Supreme Court race because there were an awful lot of those people that voted for Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump, mm-hmm. or skipped one or the other, who looked at Schimmel, looked at what Elon was doing, and just said, no, you know, Elon jumping around in a cheese head, not appealing.
Not so much.
And so Democrats should have to be really careful within the infrastructure not to fall into the same traps that Republicans did with not speaking truth when, you know, I mean, you and I, during the rise of the Tea Party movement, every Republican who was working in politics would have conversations with people and they'd be saying things and you're like, that's just not true, but you wouldn't correct them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, that's not necessarily the role of state party chair, but like with what David Hogg is doing, that should be getting called out.
Yeah. And many, many Democrats.
And I get their frustration too, because like Chuck Schumer really looked weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But that said,
the country, they don't want to admit that the country and the places like Wisconsin that decided are naturally slightly, ever so slightly right of center.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's going to be a?
I think Joe gets that.
Do you think there's going to be a major third party movement here before the next presidential election?
You know, there's so many obstacles to it because if the two parties do one thing, it's they protect their own turf. And having been around the edges of Howard Schultz looking at it, it's a really hard thing. That said, if it's AOC versus Donald Trump running for a third term, I think there's a ton of space if somebody who had the resources and could appeal to that middle were to be the candidate. Yeah. I just throw his name out, don't know him well or anything, but like if a Mark Cuban were to say, I'm going to run as a fiscally conservative business guy who's socially tolerant, that would have a lot of appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi. This isn't kind of with your thing that you were talking about, but I heard a little bit on Hartman where he was talking with someone who... And they were discussing how Trump was basically getting, like he got from all the rich people, all the donations for his inauguration. And then he talked a little bit about even on Sunday's egg roll, how like Apple donated and different companies had donated. Mm-hmm. And they were getting special compensations in ways like for tariffs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my question is, I would like to see some kind of big protest in Washington D.C. on 4th of July, and also a silent protest where when they have the 4th of July celebration, people could wear certain colors or certain armbands or certain T-shirts and protest that way.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering what's the funding that goes into that? Will the big businesses be paying for that, and thereby we're paying for
what, Ollie? I'm not sure what you mean.
Will they, like when they have the big celebrations at the Capitol on 4th of July.
Right.
Is that going to be a moment for Trump to also be collecting?
Well, sure. I mean, he wants to have a big, right. I appreciate the call, Ollie. Thanks so much. I mean, Trivi, I mean, we've seen this, the Easter egg roll. I mean, a lot of different, Paz and Target, and all these, Amazon were sponsors. And we've seen this, Mark Zuckerberg gives $1 million to the Trump inauguration. And guess what? The tariffs don't apply to them. Apple does the same thing. It's pay for play. Am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I think, there's a long tradition of things like the Easter egg roll, companies pitching in the money so that it's not taxpayers' money going to pay for the Easter egg roll. That said, what's different is, Donald Trump is, it sure seems that the Trump administration is pay to play.
Right.
And that is different.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, Jean's on the line. We'll take her phone call quickly, and then, see, a new clock throws me off. All right, Jean, let's go to Jean Eau Claire, 855-752-4842. Jean, you got 45 seconds. It's all yours, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I could say it that fast, but I'll try.
All right.
Anyway, hey, great show, guys. This is wonderful. I got to say something on behalf of the young man that's chair of the Democratic, or,
Vice chair, David Hogg. Yep.
He was in that shooting, and he went to the Capitol, and he was the one that was harassed by Marjorie Taylor Greene, following him around, harassing him, yelling at these kids who watched their classmates get slaughtered. Well, it's not really polite the way he's doing it. However, he really cares, and so I want to support all young people and their voices.
I'm up against the clock, Gene. Would you be okay if David Hogg put in $5 million against Mark Pocan and Glenn Moore?
I'm Well, I
to
would
primary him?
Have something to say about that. Yes, I would, you know. Yeah, you know, okay. I get what you're saying, the money.
Right.
The money.
I appreciate the call, Jim. Up against the clock. Come on back. What's Worse is next on Civic Media's Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Trivia Olson joins us from our nation's capital. Zommers, that's a triggering song for me.
I guess I know that. I should not do that.
The short version is back years ago in high school, I worked at WRCO Michelin Center, now part of Civic Media. My colleague, Phil Nee, who still has the great show, Those Were the Days, every Saturday night from 6 until midnight, played that song. It's called Shaving Cream. And our owner, Pete Athanas, came back. And in those days, everybody smoked, or at least Pete did. And he came back and he goes, say, I was driving back from Madison and Todd played this song and he knew what they were going to say. And Phil says, he was, what a guy, Phil Nee. He goes, actually,
took a bullet for you.
That was me. He goes, you played it, never again. So I never played that song. But Phil, all right, time once again. Here we go for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 stations in the Civic Media News Sports Talk Network. Glad to have you along. Trigvi Olson stayed around for this. It's a great category today. Category today, timely, timely indeed. What's worse, shaving or flossing? Thus the song that Zommers played. What's worse, shaving or flossing? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, shaving or flossing? You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Trigvi Olson, shaving or flossing? What's worse?
Flossing.
didn't even think about it.
But it's more important than shaving.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably true.
That is definitely true.
Right? Now, are you one when you go to the dental hygienist, and, you know, they'll say, well, you really should floss every time, you know, you really should floss more. Are you a pretty frequent flosser?
I am a pretty frequent flosser, but I am not a fan of flossing at all.
You don't like it, but you do. All right.
Yeah, you just kind of have to. I'm less a fan of shaving in a way, but flossing you have to do.
Well, right? You and I both wear beards most of the time. I've worn a beard for the last 2 years or over, plus 3 years probably.
Incidentally, I'm terrified of dentists.
Are you really? I have a great dentist.
I had a really bad experience. I broke my front tooth playing hockey.
Surprise. But Chris, listening on WRCE in Blue River, says shaving is worse. I floss every day, shaving only, or I absolutely have to. Casper, one of our great engineers here in Madison on MDX, says, shaving, ouch, I have sensitive skin. I didn't know that about Casper. He has sensitive skin.
I didn't know that either.
Snowflake.
Cam in Appleton says, shaving, I don't have to floss my rear end. Does he shave his rear end?
Presumably.
I don't get the point of that one. Christy, listening on WCFW, the tap in Eau Claire, says flossing is worse. You have to stick your fingers in your mouth.
Okay. I have to ask a question about this. How do you do that? How do you floss using actual floss? I only use floss picks because I could not.
You wrap it around your finger. Then you go one finger kind of inside your mouth and one on the outside. You go back and forth.
I don't know. I never got the hang of that. Really? I was like, this is so weird. And I don't think I have ever successfully flossed with normal floss.
All right.
Well, in our day, Zommers, we didn't have your fancy floss picks. We were lucky to have fishing line to use to pick our teeth.
Back in our day, we killed a deer and used the tendon as a piece of floss. And we liked it that way. What's worse, shaving or flossing? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Matt in Middleton on MDX says shaving is worse as I'm still learning to work my beard facial hair and it takes some effort as flossing is easy. Chris, listening on WMDX in Madison, says flossing way worse. Shaving is ritualistic, almost cathartic. But flossing is intrusive and a chore. And while important, the results of flossing aren't as noticeable as shaving is. Well, that's a good point. Casper says, back to Trigvi, get off my lawn, Trigvi. That's fantastic. Megan in Some Prairie on WMDX says, shaving is worse. It's way more time consuming than flossing. And if I don't floss, only the dentist notices. Not shaving often enough is uncomfortable. All right. Tyler up in Columbia County on MDX says, shaving is worse. Water flossers work well with how my teeth are. Plus, the pre-made flossers take the pain out. Well, there you go. To Zomer's point, I use both. I use the floss pick, and I also use the regular old floss line, or whatever to call it. Zomers, what's worse, flossing or shaving?
Shaving. I'm never going to cut myself flossing.
I would say, for me, I would say flossing is probably worse. Just because it takes time to get in there and do it right. Or shaving is pretty straightforward for me. Trigvi, did you have a definitive answer?
I did.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's right. Sorry. We started out that way.
Seems like the audience is pretty split on this one, too.
Yeah, it's a split. All right. Well, come on back. We'll have another edition of What's Worse tomorrow here in the new time slot. Trigvi, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the draft, my friend. You think it's going to be a wide receiver in the first round?
I know. I might have to call in on Friday, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We could have a little review.
We're going to, Brady Ewing's going to be here, I think, on Friday, former NFL player, talking about that. So
yeah.
Should be a good time.
Probably be picking Wisconsin to beat Alabama again next year, too.
Trivials, everybody. Appreciate it, my friend. Stay tuned. Matt Solomon is next on the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Come on back.
Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the classroom to the Capitol and out in the heart of Wisconsin's agricultural future, Ellen Schutt's journey comes full circle. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Ellen Schutt is the Wisconsin FFA Foundation Executive Director. With deep roots in farming and a passion of leadership, she's bringing new energy to an organization shaping tomorrow's ag leaders. She shares a little bit more about some of their upcoming events.
So we have two golf outings. The northern golf outing is up in Eau Claire on July 14th, and our southern one is in Middleton on July 21st. We have a great time, whether you like golf or not. Come out and have some fun with your friends. We also have some auction items, silent and live auction, just to, you know, give back to the FFA. So we'd love to see you there. Sign up, call the office if you need help. But we also have state convention coming up in June, biggest event of the year. And we have our convention expo for our students that we'd love to have you sign up and interact with them. You know, close to 4,000 students will be at state convention in Madison.
Once again, that's Ellen Schutt, the Wisconsin FFA Foundation Executive Director, along with us. I'll have more agriculture news right after this.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
You know, we pick products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage. Shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Rotor Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Powered by purpose and fueled by beef, the Wisconsin Beef Council is once again stepping up to fight hunger across the state. Now, through May 15th, the Beef Council is selling exclusive Fueled by Beef apparel and donating 100% of the proceeds to Feeding Wisconsin to help purchase beef for families in need. You can find out more as well as purchase these shirts online at beeftips.com/feedingwisconsin. The latest crop progress and condition report came out, and while days suitable for farm work increased, rainy and wet conditions across much of the state limited field work. Corn planting was 1% complete, while 2% of soybeans have been planted. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction.
State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's Saturday Night Live with Michael Che.
Welcome back to the Todd Lyle Show. I wish it were Saturday Night Live. Sorry to disappoint you. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network here on a Wednesday. Going to get to a little bit of SNL reflection in a moment, but at 35 past the hour. Quick update for you on Wisconsin roadways. One major accident to report to you, particularly for our listeners at WBZH up in Hayward. If you were looking to go on Highway 27 out of Hayward North, find an alternative route. Wisconsin DOT reporting at this hour that Wisconsin 27 north of Camp Eastmore Road, all lanes are now blocked and closed due to a crash there. So again, this is north of Hayward on Highway 27. Both north and south lanes, the road is completely shut down due to a major crash there on Highway 27. North of Hayward. On the opposite end of the state, there are several slowdowns right now, kind of basically normal drive time traffic for this afternoon in the greater Milwaukee area. Highway 41 north and south, right now, north of Interstate 94. That is going slow right now. And also, as we zoom in here, I-43 going south as well towards from Shorewood down to Milwaukee. That is pretty slow going right now as well. We'll keep you up to date on any other major accidents that become available due to the 511WI.gov site. 36 now past 3 o'clock. We are pleased to have our next guest back on the show. He is from the great publication of Cracked.com. He is Matt Solomon. Matt, thanks for coming back on. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to have you on. Our music, our intro music there was the theme of Saturday Night Live, celebrating the 50th anniversary thereof, and being 55 myself, I kind of remember some of the earlier episodes. My mom and dad watched it a lot in the 70s, and I'm not sure why they let a kid up that late once in a while on Saturday, but I remember John Belushi and, Gilda Radner and some of those early people, then later on Steve Martin, and then kind of my prime viewing for me personally of Saturday Night Live, the era that I probably is fixed in my head the most, kind of the Dana Carvey years. I mean, those were really, really sure. Well written, but, you know, guys earlier like Chevy Chase, of course, he was only on, what, for one season, Chevy Chase, or more than
one season. Well, yeah, he was on a couple episodes of season two, but essentially a one and done.
But I mean, still, you know, his imitation of President Ford and the Weekend Update and things. But so many iconic memories for guys and gals my age. And I guess now as we are here at the 50th anniversary, one of the questions is, A, is the show relevant? And B, how is it held up and how is the 50th anniversary going? And here to talk about all of that, because you've written this great column at Cracked.com.
When you were talking about the Dana Carvey cast was kind of your cast, there's a cliche about SNL that everyone's favorite cast is the cast that was on when they were about 12, 13, 14 years old.
Those were the glory days
for everyone.
Right.
to your point about is the show relevant? Mm-hmm. It still makes a lot of money for NBC. It still gets some of the best ratings in late night. It's still like they had the Webby Awards yesterday, I think, and SNL cleaned up at the Webby Awards for all the stuff they do on social media and TikTok. And so I don't think it's as relevant as it's ever been, but man, the people, I think any show that lasts 50 years right. is relevant to me, and just in terms of longevity. It's not the star maker that it used to be, for sure. But I think in a fractured media environment, it's about as relevant as anything can be, I think.
Let's talk a bit about Lorne Michaels, the executive producer of the, of the show. Talk about relevant and a star maker. I mean, not only has he overseen this show for the majority of its 50 years, but here's a guy who from, you know, Wisconsin's own Chris Farley, and you could go right down the list from there, David Spade, other people went on to either television or movie careers that were due in large part to Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why he can, when we talk about being relevant, that's right. why he continues to have the influence that he does, because he's been a kingmaker for 50 years. I mean, even the guys that you've talked about, so the Belushi and the Chevy Chase and the David Spades and the Chris Farleys, those are all 20th century people. But, right. you know, in this century, the Bill Haders and the Tina Fey's and the Will Ferrells and Kristen Wiggs, it's just remarkable, you know. And then he's you know, got this farm system now where he's completely taken over late night, and right. and Jimmy yes. Fallon moves right. from SNL into the Tonight Show spot, and Seth Meyers moves from Weekend Update into the Late Show spot. He's got a big footprint, and he has a lot of influence. He knows, you know, I think if you're how can you be like a 40-year-old NBC executive and not look at this guy and be like, geez, this guy has been like anointing people since well before I was born. Yeah. But you know, to that point, he's also you know, 80-ish, and this, you know, I don't know how much longer it can go on.
Who's the heir apparent, you think?
The funny thing is, about this time last year, he was making noise like, I'm going to get to the party. I'm going to stay on until I get to that SNL 50 party. And then I'm going to get on my horse and ride off into the sunset. And the closer it got, I think the more he was like, geez, this is, I get a good table.
Right.
When I go to the right. nice restaurant, and you know, all of a sudden he's not so ready to let go of the reins. He seemed to have anointed Tina Fey mm-hmm. last year. And to me, there's two people that make sense. It's Tina Fey and Seth Meyers. Mm-hmm. They both were head writers on the show. They both were performers on the show. And they both have run their own shows that were extremely successful. Seth Meyers, executive producing his late night show, and Tina Fey with 30 Rock and all of her ancillary other things. They're just the trifecta of people that the current cast would respect, because they killed it as performers, they were amazing writers, and they've been amazing producers. So those are the only two names to me that check all the boxes and are also still young enough that you're not turning over the keys to somebody that you're going to have to replace 10 years down the line anyway. So if I were going to go on one of the online betting sites that we can't use here in right. the state of Wisconsin, my money would be on Tina Fey, but we'll see.
We'll see. I get the sense he's got at least one more year in him. I don't think he's ready to step down, but I don't know. I mean, did you watch? Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought he was ready to step down, but man, everyone inside that building is like, nope, he's kind of
second
settled into that chair, yeah. and he's not ready to go. He's going to keep munching that popcorn at his desk for.
Did you? Well, I'm sure you did, but I watched the 50th anniversary special, the primetime special, whatever yep. for SNL. And I have to tell you,
the 3.5 hours.
Yes, I did watch all of it. And I went into it with trepidation, because I'm like, is this going to be a little cringeworthy? Yeah. What's your take? Because I thought, wow, that was actually more well done than I thought it might be.
It was just an impossible job, right? To create a show that's going to appeal to, you know, man, at least four generations of fans. I thought the show went about as well as it could have, although I am just astounded by the fact that apparently afterwards everybody said we never rehearsed. Yeah. We didn't have one rehearsal for it. And I think part of that was, I'm sure, was the logistics of all of the people that they had, you know, the biggest comedy stars of the past 50 years, getting them all in the building early and putting them through their paces was probably, on the one hand, just a logistical nightmare. On the other hand, I would have been scared to death to do some of these. You know, there was the big John Mulaney musical number where they're going out to people in the bleachers, and they're, you know, they're singing huge production numbers.
Yeah.
that they were doing for the first time in front of, not only in front of a live audience, but the first time they were doing it with each other. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable to me. That would have been so frightening. I think all things considered, I think it was kind of a miracle, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a, I don't hold it up as like some example of like, this is the best comedy that America has produced in the last 50 years. But I think that it came off as well as it did. It was an accomplishment, and it was probably representative of the raggedy show that it's been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's never been a top to bottom great show. And from whatever glory days that people think they remember, it was always two or three great sketches. And then
exactly.
Kind of a mess.
Right. And then, yeah, the rest of it, like, you don't, it's just like, the rest of it was whatever. But there's always these couple of highlights that stick out throughout the hour. We're talking
with
Matt Solomon from crack.com on the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Matt, let's talk about this 50th season now. This is pretty recent, from a couple of weeks ago or so. They did a sketch spoofing both White Lotus, the big popular streaming show, and also it was called, the sketch was White POTUS, and it went after the Trump administration, and it put Trump family characters in the White Lotus characters, and explain what happened there, because it was pretty controversial, at least for a couple of days.
It was okay. You know what? And I'm going to tie this into your relevance question that we started off here. The weirdest thing to me about season 50 is these very small things that happen in a show that become a big entertainment story for 3, 4, 5 days after the show runs. So the White POTUS was a parody of HBO's The White Lotus. There's an actress in that show, very attractive young actress named Amy Lou Wood, who has a little bit of an overbite. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Sherman portrayed her in the parody, and she wore a massive set of chompers, big prosthetic teeth. And it hurt Amy Lou Wood's feelings, which, I mean, it wasn't especially nice, but there's certainly been crueler things that have been done on Saturday Night Live. But the day after the show, she went on her social media and said, basically, SNL was mean. And that started a firestorm on social media of people coming to either to the defense of Amy Lou Wood, or people defending the right of comedy to poke fun at people, even if it's not especially kind. Cracked probably wrote 6-7 stories about it, because every time we thought we were done with it, something else would happen. There would be a story that Sarah Sherman sent her flowers, or that SNL apologized. No, SNL did not apologize after all. And the legs that those little incidents have on the show, people seem to talk about that more than they talk about the actual comedy.
And so is it because we have to get a break against the clock, but when we come back, I'll ask Matt, is this because of the relevance of Saturday Night Live, or is it because I'm holding my hand, these devices, that everything goes social, and that's why people are still talking about it? We're going to talk to Matt Solomon after this. It's SNL at 50. This is the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. $20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think $96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop Parade.
It's time for Wausau West Warrior High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Sports on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and Coast to Coast Marketing. It's now time for Wausau West Sports on your home for the Warriors, 98.9 WXCO.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Wausau West Warrior High School Baseball on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is Wednesday and we got baseball. Yep, unusual because the Wausau West Warriors and the Merrill Blue Jays scheduled to play Wisconsin Valley Conference games yesterday and tomorrow. Well, yesterday the game was postponed due to field conditions. The field conditions here in Merrill, whenever they get any kind of rain, we got rain in the middle of the day yesterday, even with a nice late afternoon, the field conditions just... this field doesn't drain very well, so they called it because of the rain and the field conditions. Tomorrow, the forecast is a little iffy for the return visit at Wausau West. So what they decided to do was to split it down the middle and play both games here today and tonight, as it does look like the forecast is looking pretty good, and it is a very nice spring late afternoon. So a doubleheader between the Warriors and the Blue Jays. This will be the first game and first games of the Wisconsin Valley Conference season for Wausau West. They are 2-5 overall. They have yet to play in the conference. They had the Valley bye a week ago. Merrill comes in at 3-4 overall, and they are 0-2 in the conference. They lost a pair of games against Stevens Point in the league a week ago. We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and have the starting lineups for today's game between the Warriors and the Merrill Blue Jays. This is Wausau West Warrior High School Baseball on 98.9 WXCO.
Looking for the best in website design and digital marketing? Look no further than Coast to Coast Marketing, Central Wisconsin's number one choice. We're not just about building great websites. We're about building our community, too. That's why, for every website you purchase, we'll donate 10% of the sale to the school of your choice. Imagine growing your business while giving back to local schools. It's a win-win. Visit c2cmarketing.com or call 715-379-7460 today and make a difference with your business and your community.
Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to wisconsinvalleyconference.org and click on Wausau West.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at BullFallsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Athletic Park in Merrill. Wisconsin Valley Conference baseball as the Wausau West Warriors take on the Merrill Blue Jays in a twin bill. Game number one, the Warriors will be the visiting team, Merrill the home team. And despite this doubleheader being played here in Merrill, game number two, the Warriors will be the home team and Merrill the visitors, because that would be the regularly scheduled second game of the series, which was set for tomorrow in Wausau. So here in game number one, for Wausau West, leading things off and playing shortstop is Tony Ifaldano. Batting second is the left fielder, Ryder Schindler. Joe Gravine is the first baseman batting third. Rowan Robbins will be the designated hitter batting fourth. Cohen Bryant is at second base hitting fifth. Ty Teske is the starting pitcher for the Warriors batting sixth. Miles Waldvogel is in center field batting seventh. Travis Clade is at catcher batting eighth. Dylan Landreth is the third baseman hitting ninth. Ethan Sillers is the right fielder for the Warriors. He has been replaced in the batting order by the DH. So again for the Warriors, Tony Ifaldano, Ryder Schindler, Joe Gravine, Rowan Robbins, Cohen Bryant, Ty Teske, Miles Waldvogel, Travis Clade, Dylan Landreth. For the Merrill Blue Jays, leading things off and playing center field is Corey Page. Batting second is the left fielder, Brady Norton. E.J. Wikes is in right field, hitting third. Caden Henrick is at catcher, batting fourth. Cooper Wendorf, the shortstop, batting fifth. Cameron Wallen is at first base, hitting sixth. Noah Klug, the designated hitter, hits seventh. Cole Rudy is at third base, hitting eighth. Brody Klebanow is the second baseman, hitting ninth. And Carter Kaminsky is the starting pitcher for Merrill. He has been replaced in the batting order by the designated hitter. We're going to take one more quick break and then come back, have the first pitch coming up next. First base, number six, Cam It is Wausau West and Merrill High School Baseball on 98.9 WXCO.
Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to WisconsinValleyConference.org and click on Wausau West.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's commercial printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services, whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic design, or mailing. They print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small, so give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the WIAA, are the 178,000 high school sports students in Wisconsin. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our